This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in the previous few ayat, many of these ayat have been speaking about the concept of spirituality. And rightfully so, that we find that the concept of spirituality or awakening the soul leads to a person to begin to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why ayat of Az-Zajr wal-Nar, of Al-Azab, ayat verses speak about punishment, torture, retribution, the hereafter. The essence of this ayat is to awaken the individual to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Creates the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or loosely mentioned as taqwallah, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when a person fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rules and regulations that a person is taught or reads about, they begin to adopt them quickly inside their life. Whereby if a person is force-fed to do certain actions, there is no love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no love for the Qur'an, no love for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It only be a matter of time whereby that obedience, or that external obedience, which is withered away, because it hasn't penetrated the heart. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. Fear Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will teach you. That's why you find the essence of all obedience is the fear, the consciousness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sometimes we need these spiritual verses to awaken ourselves and to make it easy for us to understand verses of ahkam, of rules and regulations. And the Qur'an is divided into 7 broad categories, and some have condensed it to 3 main categories the Qur'an is divided into. If you take the Qur'an in a general principle, you find either it will speak about tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it will speak about ahkam, rules and regulations, do's and don'ts, halal and haram, or it will speak about al-qasas al-sabiqeen, and that broad category will entail wa'ad, admonition, stories of the prophets, stories of the people who came before, Ahlul Kitab, etc. These are 3 broad categories of the Qur'an. That in general, this is whereby verses will fall into. So verses of ahkam, ulama have mentioned rules and regulations for how to behave and conduct ourselves, are only approximately some 600 verses of the Qur'an or so. Whereby the Qur'an contains more than 6,300 odd verses inside the Qur'an. So how do rules and regulations become thuluthul Qur'an, 1/3 of the Qur'an? Because these ayat, they don't repeat themselves inside the Qur'an. They just mention on a one-off occasion, or tell you clearly in black and white what we need to adopt or what we need to do inside our lives. And we can't fall short of these ayat. Life isn't all about spirituality as some people think, that it's just a spiritual awakening. So all a person's efforts become awakening people spiritually and not focusing on rules and regulations. And then the opposite extreme, that all that people's life becomes is injunctions, rules and regulations, and they don't have that spirituality, they don't have that iman, they're just trying to shove down people's throat that this is halal, this is haram, this is what we need to do inside our lives. And it doesn't make much change inside society, inside their own life. We have to exert ourselves in developing all these concepts inside our life. As Allah mentioned, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُدْخُلُوا فِي سِلْمِ كَافَةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. Or you believe, enter into faith wholeheartedly, total submission. Udkhulu fi silmi. And also we find bil fatha, bil salmi, as Imam al-Jalalain inside the Tafsir Jalalain, they mention, that enter into Islam in total submission, meaning try everything of Islam. Do your best to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ تَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. Believe in part of the book and reject another part of the book. Take wholeheartedly, يَا يُلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا خِطَاب لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, addressing the believers, oh you believe, أُدْخُلُوا, enter into Islam in total submission, trying your best. Another place in the Qur'an, Allah mentioned, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَسْتَطَعْتُ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you come. This becomes a maxim of law. This becomes an injunction of law. Principles are based upon this verse inside the Qur'an. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can. Try your best to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Qur'an is an expression of everything that concerns us regarding our life, as we began with, whether spiritually, rules and regulations, do's and don'ts, what we need to do inside our life. That's why Allah mentioned, tibyanan li kulli shay. This Quran explains everything. Everything in terms of what concerns the human being, how to live their life. Another place in the Quran, ma faratna fil kitabi min shay'in. We haven't left anything out of the Quran. Nothing's been left out inside this book in how to make the ideal human being. How to make a better society. That if we follow the injunctions of the Quran. And the sad fact is that, you know, people are saying we still need to focus on spirituality, core roots, build people's belief, etc. Which is partially true. But on the other side, we've had 1,444 years to build people's iman. We have a blueprint. It's not something which is made up. We ruled and we governed for hundreds of years, for centuries. So I don't understand this concept of people say we need to go back to a Meccan phase, build once again what exists inside society. We lived the society. We gained the society. We were a powerful society. We know what to do inside our lives. So where's the downfall? The downfall is inside our conviction in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's becoming weaker and weaker. That we begin to think, just live a life of spirituality. Focus on our own spirituality. And don't worry about the wider society. But at the verse of today and the following verses we're going to study, speak about a wider society. About being engaged with the wider society. And calling people to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as mentioned in today's verse we're going to mention. And prior to that, we find that even when we read the Qur'an, that many of us, we read the Qur'an, and whether we read the section that speak about Qasasul Anbiya, speak about stories of the prophets, we can't still seem to decipher what the message of these stories is. For Mathalan Surah Yusuf, the 12th chapter of the Qur'an, some 111 odd verses. Most of us are familiar with this story and what it speaks about. But we don't get the deeper message of this surah. That is speaking about rules, injunctions, speaking about governance, about power, about authority, that this surah speaks about da'wah and fair preaching. So it's not just a story about temptations and sabr, which rightfully it does contain, there's no doubt about that. But it's a deeper message that some of us can't seem to decipher. That's why in the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives this symbol, this message about what this whole of this story has been about. قُلْ هَذِي سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ That the end conclusion to the whole this journey of Surah Yusuf is now that after listening to this surah and learning all these characteristics, what should our path be? قُلْ هَذِي سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ That this is the path of Allah. That I need to be going out and calling to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not like other ways of life that we have, that belief is a personal concept. It's a hidden affair. دَعْمَا لِلَّهِ لِلَّهِ وَمَا لِقَيْسَ لِقَيْسَرَ As they say, give that which, as Romans say, give that which belongs to God, and that which belongs to Caesar, to Caesar. Meaning that Islam doesn't play a political role in the world. It's a private belief. That in the masjid, you're a humble Muslim. But when you leave the masjid, then your Islam has no power over you. There's nothing. There's no need to govern by Islam, or to speak about Islam, or to live according to Islam. That's where you find our transactions, our living and everything. What is it based upon? You know, if you count the numerous sins that we live in on this world, as Muslims, ignore the non-Muslims. Amongst those top five sins is what? Is intishar riba. Is a spread of riba, of usury, of interest, that every other Muslim is involved inside it. And then we speak about, why are we suffering? That's why there's only one place inside the Quran. That Allah speaks about every type of sin is mentioned inside the Quran. But only one place inside the Quran, Allah mentions categorically that people who devour riba, who eat usury, who deal in usury, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then His Messenger have declared war upon those people. We're at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it boils down to. That we spread all across the face of this earth and we as Muslims are involved inside it. Whether it be from a micro level to a macro level. Because once again, our conviction about the Quran, because it's been drilled into our mind, we can't live a life. We can't live in the 21st century except for the principles that they've instilled inside our minds. That we need to believe that this is the way that needs to be lived in. But a believer is one who extracts the teaching of the Quran. قُلْ هَذِي سَبِيلِي أَدُوْ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ بَصِيرَةٍ. Basira, foresightedness, understanding what the message of the Quran is. And likewise, in another place inside the Quran, inside Surah Al-Nahl, which is going to be today's verse we're going to study, that in these 130 odd ayat that we find, that all the way speaking about all the different ni'm, all the different blessings, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions at the end, Udu ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'idatil hasana wa jadilhum billati hiya ahsan. Call to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with wisdom, fair preaching, admonition. And likewise, wa jadilhum billati hiya ahsan. And debate with the people around you. Arguing with them in a not in an argumentative manner, in an abrupt manner, but discuss with these people. So after all this discussion of Surah Al-Nahl, the 16th chapter of the Quran, right at the end, once again, the message is given. This is a common theme inside the Quran. At the end of each surah, Allah will conclude what is the main theme of the surah, or a relationship between the beginning and the end of the surah, or key lessons, Al-Khatima, the end of the surah, the key points we can take out of this surah, or this message inside the Quran. And that's the key message. Udu ila sabili rabbika, call to the path of your Lord. Call to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bil hikmati, by the use of wisdom. Wal maw'idatil hasana, admonition, fair preaching. Wa jahadilum billati hi ahsan, and argue with them in a manner which is fair and equitable that we find. So going back to studying the siyaq, the context of these ayat, because it's very important to understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places certain verses at certain places. Surah Al-Nahl, as we mentioned, is 16th surah of the Quran, 128 verses, a Meccan surah. Another name of this surah is Surah Al-Ni'am, a surah of blessings. Because if you read this surah, you just find verse after verse just speaking about the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like if you look at Surah Al-An'am, a lengthy surah as well, the 6th chapter of the Quran. The other name of this surah is Surah Al-Tawheed. That every other verse is speaking about the belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Surah Al-Nahl is speaking about these blessings. And likewise, even Al-Nahl that we find, وَأُوحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave revelation to Al-Nahl, to the bee. Speaks about Al-Ankabut, the spider, the mosquito, the dog, Al-Baqarah. Why does Allah use these names or give surahs these titles? It's a deep science to study. Because even inside Al-Nahl that we find, Allah mentions, there's going to be a cure from the drink of the honey that you take. There's going to be a cure for the human being. Everything about the Quran is blessed. Everything is actually about the Quran. But once again, it's our belief, our conviction, that the Western world tells us that there's going to be cure inside honey, or there's going to be this benefit inside this food, or inside this drink, which the Quran has already spoken about. Then we're going to rush towards it. We're going to rush towards it. But the Quran has mentioned it time ago, 1400 years ago, that inside these certain insects, or inside specifically this insect, that the drink that is extracted from its stomach or is taken from it, there's going to be benefit for the individual to drink this, a cure for the heart and the ailments and the diseases that they find. وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Amongst these ayat of blessings that Allah mentions inside Surah Al-Nahl that we find, to enumerate and to reflect and to use this ayat, Allah mentions, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you try to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're not going to be able to enumerate them. And Allah mentions twice inside the Quran, inside Surah Al-Nahl, and likewise inside Surah Ibrahim. Both the context speak about the blessings that Allah bestowed upon the people He granted to them. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Another place inside the same surah. There's not any blessing that you have. فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. It's not from your own self, your own mind, your own hard work, your own life, your own ability. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Any ni'mah that you have, it's from Allah. It's a blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted to all of us. Every single ni'am that we find, every single blessing. وَحَتَّى الشَّيْءُ basid, حَتَّى الْبَصَرِ. It's not something simple. Even eyesight. Imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away one of our eyes. Took away both our eyes. What would our life become? That you find an individual, a person who becomes kafif, who becomes blind inside their life. وَيَصْبِرْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. And he's patient about that. What's the reward of that individual? Nothing less but paradise. Nothing less but paradise. The person loses their eyesight and is patient about that and bears that, because you can just see a blind person walking around. How they hobble, how they fall, how they stumble, and not able to know where they're going. Somebody has to help them, etc. Fine. Imagine that day in, day out, living their life. So even a simple, not in a simple way, but using it linguistically, our eyesight, to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. أَفَبِالْبَاطُلِ يُؤْمِنُونَ وَبِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ هُمْ يَكْفُرُونَ. Do they believe in falsehood? And do they reject the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then again, Allah mentions similar verses of the same surah. يَعْرِفُونَ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يُنْكِرُونَهَا. They know the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they begin to reject them. وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ الْكَافِرُونَ. And most of these people are full of ingratitude, ungrateful to Allah, because مِنْ مَعَانِي الْكَافِرِ لُغَةً linguistically, the meaning of a kafir isn't a disbeliever. The linguistic meaning of a person who's a kafir is جُحُودُ النِّعْمِ, is a person who rejects the blessings of Allah. So by default, we are all kuffar. Linguistically, we are all ungrateful toward the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ. That human being is kanood, rejecting the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is a testimony for that himself. He doesn't need anybody else to testify that he shows ingratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, you find the main mawdu of this surah, it's not just the blessings, but it's speaking about the messengers. Or speaking about specifically the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. فَهَلْ عَلَى الرُّسُلِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. What is the task of the messengers? Except for to convey the message. Do you think the Prophet alayhi salam, he wanted to go out and preach to the people? Rather, he was compelled, he was commanded. يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُزَمِّلْ قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Then يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُدَّثِّرْ قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. Go and warn the people. أَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Go and warn the people. He never wanted to come out and warn the people. He was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even when he left Mecca, he said, I don't want to leave Mecca. This is my land, my birthplace, my people, my tribe, my clansmen, my family members. That he didn't want to leave Mecca. Only when he went to Medina, we found that soft ground of those people who showed him that love and affection. And that's why the Ansar, they wept, thinking that now that towards the end of the journey of the Prophet, he's going to return back and remain in Mecca because that's his real home. That's why the Quran describes Mecca as Ummul Qura, the mother of all villages, the mother of all lands. That's Ummul Qura, that's Mecca. وَمَنْ دَخَلُوا كَانَ آمِنًا. Whoever enters into Mecca finds total tranquility, total peace. لِأَنَّ بَيْتُ اللَّهِ الْحَرَامِ. It's a house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That love that person has. That you find to frequent the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's some even ulama mentioned, even to look at the house of Allah, to look at the Kaaba. And this isn't a hadith of the Prophet, it's a form of ibadah. It's a form of reflection. To see the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To see this location, to be there, and to praise and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, Allah mentioned, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. We sent amongst every people, every nation, a messenger. What's the task of the messenger? أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ. To worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. To stay away from anything which is worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our default position, as we mentioned many times, isn't here to just to enjoy ourselves, to have a good life, to build an empire, to have wealth, to have property. There's nothing wrong with that. Even to have children or whatever it may be. That's just part and parcel of life. But it's a core inner purpose of the human being. A core purpose that we should be upon the face of this earth. Just like the messengers. Because who carries out the task of the messengers today? Messengers have gone. They've done their task. They've now entrusted it upon us to fulfill that trust. Because we are messengers of the messenger. Because messengers don't leave behind any form of legacy of wealth. They don't leave behind dinar wala dirham. They don't leave behind property, gold coins or silver coins. They only leave behind al-ilm. They leave behind knowledge. The knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever takes from that treasure, min hadhin wafir, whoever takes from that treasure has taken the total success. It's the path of all of the anbiya, all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالزُّبُرِ. We sent down upon you, we sent the messengers prior to you. And we gave them the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. بالبينات والزبر وأنزلنا إليك الذكر لتبين للناس ما نزل إليهم لعلهم يتفكرون. Once again, the messenger. We sent down the dhikr. Dhikr is from the asma' al-Qur'an, names of the Qur'an. Why do we send the Qur'an upon you, O Messenger of Allah? لتبين للناس ما نزل إليهم ولعلهم يتفكرون. To explain to them what the Qur'an means. To decipher the Qur'an, to live the Qur'an. It's not just a book just to recite it, just recite the Qur'an. We have many qurra, many hufadh al-Qur'an. Not saying that we shouldn't have them. It's not just about qurra people who recite the Qur'an, just memorize the Qur'an, which is excellent. We should do that inside our lives. But there's a deeper step that's taking us a long time to develop inside our lives, of understanding the message of the Qur'an and applying the Qur'an inside our lives. And Allah mentioned that same task twice inside this surah about explaining the Qur'an. Then again, Allah mentioned, قَالُ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُفْتَى. Then these accusations towards the Prophet, you're one who just fabricated, you're a forger, full of forgery. إِنَّمَا يُعَلِّمُهُ bashar. Indeed, it's only a human being who's taught you this Qur'an that's been taught to you. So after all this discussion about the Prophet and the messengers, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end is in highlighting that don't become overwhelmed by what these people are saying, attributing towards you. Your task is to carry on. اُدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. Is carry on preaching to the people. And prior to that, Allah mentioned Ibrahim alayhi salam. ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. We reveal to you to follow the millah, the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now ulama of tafsir begin to discuss, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak about Ibrahim right here before giving da'wah? Because go back and look at Ibrahim alayhi salam. The various formats of da'wah that he gave, right from the beginning of his life as a young boy speaking to his father Azar, giving him da'wah about these tamathil, these statues, these idols he's making, speaking to his people when they worship the stars, the moon, the sun, going to Nimrud. All these tasks, all this form of wisdom of preaching throughout Ibrahim's life, as if ishara to the Prophet, follow the way of Ibrahim. The task of what he carried out inside his life. Abul Anbiya, the father of the prophets, is Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then likewise Allah then mentioned, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ السَّبْتُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ. Then we speak about the people of Sabt, speaking about Al-Yahud, and ulama said this is ishara that all the blessings that were given to them, that were given to Bani Israel, but they began to reject them. So now on the Day of Judgment, they're going to be brought forth to accountability for being ungrateful towards the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon these individuals. And then we find, after this Allah mentioned, that if you're going to, in aqabtum, if you're going to seek retribution or punishment upon the people, then it should be a fair punishment upon these people. وَلَئِن صَبَرْتُمْ لَوَ خَيْرُ لِلصَّابِرِينَ. But if you be patient, then that is better for the person who's following the path of patience. وَاسْبِرْ وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Be patient inside your life. Da'wah doesn't have instant results. Wasbir. وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Your patience should be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sabr lillah. Sabr billah. Sabr fi tariqillah. Sabr in every aspect. The person is patient in calling and reminding the people about the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ. This is how the surah concludes. Don't grieve. Don't be sad about these people. That you've exerted your efforts in giving da'wah to these people. وَلَا تَكُوا فِي ضَيْكٍ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ. Don't become upset. Don't let it restrict your chest, is the literal meaning. Don't let it become restricted inside your chest that these people are not returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what they're plotting and planning. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Is how the surah ends. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوا. Allah is with those people who fear Allah. And ulama describe, اتَّقَوا كُلُّ الْأَوْقَاتِ. All the time, trying to find ways of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is those people who are the doers of good, helps us to understand the context of these ayat of the Qur'an. Imam Qurtubi speaks about the reason of revelation of this verse, about arguing with these people, mentioned that when the time of Sulh al-Hudaybiyah in the 6th year of the Islamic calendar was made, peace was made with the Quraysh, this pact, this agreement was made. So now is the opportunity, udu ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah. Now go out and preach to them. With wisdom, fair preaching. It's an open ground, open season of da'wah now. Because that is agreement of peace. See the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of us, if not all of us, none of us can understand it. Even the companions at that moment in time, the agreement that was made, they thought this was something which is going to be harmful to them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described this agreement as being fathun mubina, a great victory. Because it became a season that there's no warfare, there's no fighting, an opportunity for the Muslims to go and give da'wah to these people. Is how Imam Qurtubi begins to describe this verse. Also similar verse inside the Quran, Allah mentions that Surah Al-Ankabut. وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Don't argue إِلَّا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ. Don't argue with the people of the book, except for that which is good, except for those individuals may transgress, that you may be show certain harshness towards them, as Ibn Kathir recollects this ayah. As we're referring back to this ayah, أُدُوا لَا سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. Call to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with wisdom. أُدْعُوا. يقول إمام طبري, إمام المفسرين. أُدُوا بِمَا إِشَارَ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Speaking to the Prophet عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, commanding him. Ibn Kathir mentions, أَمِرًا لِرَسُولِهِ. Commanding the messenger, his messenger, أُدُوا, come out. This is فعل الأمر, imperative. Imperative commandment inside the da'wah isn't something which you just do as a part-time affair. It's an imperative commandment inside the Quran of giving da'wah, calling people to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ. To the path of your Lord. Imam Tabari mentions, إِلَى شَرِيعَةِ اللَّهِ. To the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why even today when we give da'wah, what should we be calling to? To our personal identity, entity, our personal choice, our personal understanding. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. The best speech is one who calls to Allah. And that's another reason why we're in this mess that we're at the moment. Because when people are giving da'wah, they're not calling to Allah. They're not calling to Allah, they're calling to their own selves, their own personality, their own individual self, their own individual intellectual understanding that they feel is the right approach. But that's not what the Quran is saying. Udu ila sabili rabbika, call to the path of Allah. Give people to da'wah ilallah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what a Muslim should be doing inside their life. Ala al-ilm al-nafi' wal-amal salih. With the right understanding of knowledge and the practicality of that knowledge. Implement that knowledge inside the life. Just as we mentioned, ala basira inside Surah Yusuf, that the ulama begin to dissect the meaning of basira, is understanding who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and what it entails, involves us giving da'wah ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bil hikmati, with wisdom. Imam Tabari mentions the wisdom that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired and sent down upon you. Imam Sa'di inside his tafsir mentions to begin with that which is first and appropriate to mankind, to the people. You know, sometimes look when we give da'wah. Just person, let's say for example, person is listening to music or smoking something, doing something. That's all that we jump upon. As if that's all that Islam is speaking about. We don't have the wisdom to understand, to build a relationship, a bond with a person, to engage with a person. And just as we began with, just black and white, this is halal, this is haram, and expect them to change inside their life. And that's what we can see the state of many people who practice Islam, which is in and out of Islam. Not making them disbelieve, but in and out, meaning they don't know what to do inside Islam. It's just all these thoughts that have been thrown upon them. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to abstain from. There's no development inside their life. You know, to change yourself, it takes a few minutes. Just go and buy an Islamic thobe today. Leave your bed for a few months. It's that simple it is. That's not what Islam is. If you think that's what Islam is, you've got it totally wrong. Islam is all your life. Because the demons within ourselves, it takes 50, 60, 70 years to control one's anger, one's pain, anguish, patience, suffering. That takes a whole life. No one conquers that. Anyone can conquer this external body and display themselves as a good Muslim. But internal elements is what many of us, we fail to develop inside our life. As we began with the real spirituality, is focused on struggling within ourselves throughout our lives to become good individuals, not just become this figure that the world looks at or people see. And that's what we can see, that this figure, how people will do detrimental things to their hearts. That's when a person hears that, how can a Muslim who's practicing their faith is doing such apparent haram things? We're not speaking about personal weaknesses a person may have, openly doing haram things. We see it in our society. Why is that happening inside our society? And even displayed as Muslims, because there's no real fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside their hearts. No real teaching, bil hikmah, in wisdom, in trying to develop people, even speaking to non-Muslims. The key element, what is it just to win the argument? It's about developing a fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside their lives that we need to develop. وَالْمَوْعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ An admonition, fair preaching, is the second stage. That's why Imam Baghawi mentions الْمَوْعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ بِالْقُرْآنِ Use the Qur'an to give da'wah to the people, because الْمَوْعِذَةِ is what makes the soft heart become soft. As we began with speaking the ayat about zajr and adab, speaking to Muslim, that's the next stage. After using wisdom, that person needs a slightly more step forward of an admonition. So that's why we find the Yawmul Jum'ah is a day of admonition, to remind the people. And that's why some people find that the Yawmul Jum'ah should be a passive, soft sermon that we find. No, that's the one, the rare occasions that the Prophet raised his voice, his eyes reddened, he warned the people. That's what maw'idah is. That's why some of the ulama, they begin to discuss about what is maw'idah. Just like you find the famous hadith in Sunan Imam Tirmidhi, that one day the Prophet ﷺ, he gave us such an admonition, such a strong admonition, that the hearts began to quiver and the eyes began to shed tears. That's the admonition of the Prophet ﷺ. That's what maw'idah is. Wa'idhum. Give them a strong admonition. Sometimes we need the admonition to awaken ourselves, to come back to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْمَعِذُ الْحَسَنُ بِالْعِبْرِ الْجَمِيلَ Imam Tabari mentions giving good examples to remind these people, التَرْغِيب وَالْتَرْحِيب, encouraging people to come back to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنُ The third stage. That some people may have some wrong thoughts, some wrong ideas. So now you need to have some form of jidal, some form of argument, linguistically, discussion with them, about to highlight what is the real teachings of Islam towards these individuals. Billati hiya ahsan. In a best format that we find we should be debating with these people. That's why Imam Ibn Kathir mentions, وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ Don't argue with the people of the book except for with goodness. Imagine this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't argue with the people of the book. How do we treat Muslims today? If Allah is saying that when you speak to non-Muslims, you should be in your best behavior, your best language, your best speech. You know, da'wah is taking place at the moment, people flock and giving da'wah. Well, it's nothing but shatam, curse and reviling. Your mum this, your dad's this, this person like this, he's like that. That's not da'wah illallah. That's not preaching to Allah. If we think that's preaching to Allah, that's what many ulama studying this ayat, they've highlighted clearly. It's not about putting the other person down or making them, demonizing that individual. Even their disbelieving individual, that's not the intent of da'wah. That I put him in their place, I told them the message, that's not what da'wah is. Because as you walk away, what happens inside their heart? The hatred builds even more. The hatred builds even more. And some of us, we can't see that. You know, I visualize that with my own eyes. A Muslim is debating with another Christian. And the Christian is being humble and soft and is listening to the person. A crowd flocks around. The Muslim becomes more abusive in their language, more abrupt in their language, till eventually he slaps the Christian in his face. And he thinks that he's done justice. And as he walks away, and a good crowd is there, the Christian person just says, this sums up your faith, sums up their faith. Just abuse. Who's won the argument there? Who's won the argument? He has won the argument. In his passion of patience and controlling himself. That's why don't argue with people of the book. They're going to intentionally curse and revile the Quran. They're going to intentionally curse the Prophet ﷺ. Don't think they don't do it intentionally. They want to test you. And if you can't bear that, don't engage yourself with such people. Because you're building sins upon your own self. So when you debate, debate in a good manner. And likewise, the Muslims, the default position. How do we treat Muslims? Let's be honest. How do some of us Muslims walk around treating other Muslims? We don't agree with them. As we come into Ramadan, somebody might want to pray 8, somebody wants to pray 20, some imam makes dua, some doesn't make dua, some raise his hands, some don't raise their hands. We demonize these people as if they're devils. That's what we do with some Muslims. We think we're all right. You know, for 1,000 years, more than 1,000 years, ulama have been debating about Salatul Taraweeh. Just because you read one text or one understanding, you want to wash over 1,000 years of fuqaha discussing and debating about Salatul Taraweeh, whether it's 8 or it's 20, or the codification, a way of offering the prayer. Yes, we may feel that 8 is the right view, but it doesn't mean that you need to go out. What is the essence of spirituality of Ramadan? It's tasma' ila al-Quran, to listen to the Quran. If you want to pray 8, pray 8, pack your bags and quietly leave.
Don't stand outside the masjid for an hour and a half, having a go at everybody, arguing with everybody, backbiting the imam, backbiting everybody. Ayy Ramadan, what kind of Ramadan is this? You call that a Ramadan? You call that a Ramadan? Do you actually think deep down inside that's Ramadan? Then on the night of Laylatul Qadr, people trying to make ibadah, trying to pray. That might be the only day off they have of work. They want to come to the masjid or they want to pray. And you're the outsiders, standing outside there, having a go at people. Oh, it's the 27th, it can't be the right night. It possibly cannot be the right night. We know that. But encourage people in the right way, in the right manner, and teach people. Don't make your Ramadan just to become a person. You know, I'll say openly, some Muslims just want to see the back of us. They want to see the back of us because they're sick of our attitude about what we're doing inside society. When the Quran is telling us the opposite, that be gentle inside your preaching. Allah said to Musa and Harun, go to Fir'aun and say to him good words. لَعَلَّهُ يَخْشَى. That perhaps he may fear Allah. Imagine Fir'aun. Can Fir'aun fear Allah? But yet Allah is saying, say to him, قَوْلَ لَيِّن. That perhaps he may fear Allah or يَتَذَكَّر or may remember. That's what ulama said, لِكُلِّ فِرْعَوْن مُوسَى. For every Fir'aun, there's a Musa. Meaning that when you go and speak to people, speak polite, good words, words to the point, nice words towards the person, even if it happened to be a tyrannical person like Fir'aun, that the Quran is giving that message. Imam Sa'di inside his tafsir begins to speak about debating with people or speaking towards people. And he mentions aqlan wa naqlan, that whether it be the use of the intellect that we find or text around us that we find to present to the people. There's numerous ulama inside the tafsir, they mentioned to understand the community that you live in. How to speak to people, how to engage with people, how to give da'wah to people. And some even go to a deeper inner meaning, that even to know sciences of the people around you, to be able to engage with them and to give da'wah to them. There's no point speaking about the 6th, 7th century, about certain texts or certain practices to a person living in the modern world. What relevance does it have towards them to speak about something that existed before? Whether it's right or wrong, leave that for the time being. But when you're giving da'wah to a person, to bring that up and to raise that as a point of concern in da'wah shows a lack of wisdom. A lack of wisdom in our preaching towards society and what we should be involved in, encouraging people to come towards the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like what we find, it's not about argumentation or insults. But the essence of the person is hidayatul khalq ila al-haq. Is to encourage people to come to the truth. That's what it is. So we need to take this out of our heart, this feeling, that always feeling to be in an argument, to prove the other person wrong, to make them feel bad, to prove I won the point, I know more Islam than you, I understand it better than you. All of us should be questioning ourselves. If that's how that we feel, we give that what we engage with people, or that's what our life has become. That's why Ibn Taymiyyah said that some people are just like flies. They just come on the dung. That's all they look at. Just look at mistakes of people. Float around. Wherever they find a mistake, that's it. Just home in on that mistake. Spend their whole life doing that. Finding mistakes of people. Whoever spends their life seeking mistakes of people, in the hadith that mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose them, even happen to do sins inside their own home. Allah will expose them, even happen to be inside their own home. So it's not about getting one over another individual or making another person feel bad or just arguing with them. All the ulama conclude is to get people to come back to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find, Imam Sa'd even mentions to study all al-ihtijaj. To argue with them with all the things that they may even believe in. So the principle, the concept that they believe in inside the society, to understand them, to counteract them when you give da'wah to them and the things that they believe in, to show how false is the things that they believe in regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Alusi, Sahib Ruh al-Ma'ani, begins to mention these are all formats of da'wah. Whether it be firstly that we find al-hikmah that we find is the first stage. Then al-maw'idha, the second stage of admonition that we find. Then we find al-jidal, argumentative behavior in the right way to encourage people to come back to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we find the results. The results belong to whom? That's the verse that concludes of mentioning إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ ضَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ. Allah knows those people who've gone off the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He knows who are the rightly guided individuals. In Tafsir al-Muyassar, فَإِنْ عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغِ. Your task is just to convey to the people. Your task isn't to be thinking that this person has to believe. This person has to submit. Why are they not submitting? I've spent 9.5 minutes. I've spent 9.5 days. I've spent 9.5 months on this person. Nuh alayhi salam spent 1,000 years, less 50, 950 years. Spent 950 years. قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعُوتُ قَوْمِ لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا. I preach to my people day and night, openly, secretly, public gatherings, private gatherings. Every time I called them, they began to thrust their fingers inside their ears. وَاسْتَغْشَوْ ثِيَابَهُمْ. And they took their garments and placed it over their heads. And they became arrogant towards me. We spent what? I don't think anybody spent 9.5 months preaching to a person. But this is how we conclude our life. That we think that we should be the path, the bridging gap of people becoming. Allah's giving this message. That it's not, guidance doesn't belong in any individual. Inside their hands or inside their speech. And as we find that the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابُ. As another place that the Quran mentions, upon you is just to convey. And upon us is accountability. It's upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring people, bring them forth to accountability and retribution. It belongs only to Allah. It doesn't belong to no one. No matter what you see externally, whatever you see externally, that's it. If as a Muslim, ta'adhur, continuously make excuses. 70 excuses, more than that. Then question your own self. Illa idha kunta imaman or qadiyan. You're an imam, you're a judge, you're a leader, you're a person in authority. Then you have some right and some power now to engage something. And that's it, leave it. In alayka al-balagh, upon you just to convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Ibn Kathir then speaks about the hidden message about this. Even to the Prophet alayhi salam. Innaka la tahdi man ahbabta walakin Allah yahdi man yasha. You can't guide whom you love. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that guides. Another place in the Quran, laysa alayka hudahum walakin Allah yahdi man yasha. It's not upon you to guide. It's upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guides. That's even the context of ayat, some of the ulama tafsir they mentioned. It speaks about Abu Talib. You know, the love that the Prophet had for him. That's why we need to understand what the Sharia is. Al-Hub. Love isn't something which is just only linked between a Muslim and another Muslim. That's why Imam Al-Qadi Al-Iyad, he mentions Anwar Al-Hub. All various forms of love that you find. A person can love a kafir. A person can love a disbeliever. Who says they can't love them? Is that kind of ummuhu? That's his mother. Why can't he love her? لِأَنَّ هَذَا الْحُبَّ الطَّبِيعِ. It's a natural love for him to love his mother. Quran doesn't rebuke that. So the Prophet, he had this natural love towards Abu Talib. So he felt that remorse. He felt that feeling. He felt that feeling, that missed opportunity. That's what he said to Abu Talib on his deathbed. He said, Ya Am, say this one word. Say this one word, this one sentence. And I will argue in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you. One sentence. قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Say that. But you find other leaders around Abu Talib, just like today's context. Don't believe. Don't change. Don't become a better individual. Are you going to give up the way of your forefathers, your comrades, your friends, the criminals around you, people doing haram around you? Are you going to forsake them? That's what they said to Abu Talib. So he died upon the millah of the way of his forefathers. But even then, look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this blessing to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Hadith shifa'a khasa, a specific intercession of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam for Abu Talib, his uncle, because he defended the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But even then, tasawwur, reflect upon that, will wear two shoes of fire. Two straps, two sandals of fire that will make his brain boil. And that's the least punishment. That's the least punishment. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said, that my example is a person who ignited a fire and people are coming towards the moths and the insects are coming towards that fire. I'm trying to stop them. That's what we're here for. He's trying to help people, stop people from heading towards the fire, this punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we find. So that's what we find in conclusion. That we find that not always a personal relationship If there are certain moments like in Ramadan, it should be a personal relationship of spirituality. But other moments inside our life, we should be engaged inside the wider society in calling them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And da'wah doesn't mean you have to be some specialist individual. You know, and normal people give far better da'wah than ourselves. Normal people, eating, drinking, speaking, being courteous, being good behavior, engaging with people, has led so many people to come towards Islam. So don't think da'wah has to be this aggressive form of preaching to people or argument with people. Just being a normal Muslim, everyday Muslim, full of honesty, integrity, good behavior, staying away from ma'asi, from dhunub. How many times non-Muslims stopping the Muslim youth and saying that this is haram for you? What a shame that is. A non-Muslim stopping a Muslim youth and saying that it's haram in your religion to drink, to take drugs, to fornicate, to commit adultery. He's a kafir. He's a non-Muslim who's telling us our faith because they know what our faith is, what it entails. And we don't want to uphold our own faith. So if we don't uphold our own faith, what do they think then? If he finds no peace inside Islam, he doesn't, as we began with, he doesn't change. He's not showing symbols of changing inside his life. So there's no benefit for me. Why should I change my life? Because you know, as a side point, many of them, they enjoy their life. Don't think it's all doom and gloom. Some of them, they enjoy their life. They enjoy what they're doing. They enjoy the money. They enjoy the lifestyle. They enjoy the haram. So what will lead them to change? Is to show real spirituality, real change. That was the cavity they're missing inside their lives. And likewise, to leave this argumentative approach inside our lives. I've always tried to be argumentative towards people when we give da'wah. And likewise, that we think that we guide or rectify people inside our lives. That's the final message, that we think that we are the people who are guiding people. Or we are the right people. The point is just to try and to place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's all that this journey on this life is. As we began with, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can.